Welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, the Fit and Fab channel. It is going to be a fabulous day today. Literally, we're going to talk fitness, we're going to talk nutrition, we're going to talk muscle building, we're going to talk training, coaching. You know, it's all of the above. And, you know, with me, I have a professional, literally, I mean it, in the world of bodybuilding, fitness, tradition, and history, but also a coach, a trainer, and a life and health coach. So we're going to talk about all this stuff with Angela Beyer, our guest for today. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, now listen, your world is unique. It is body design, you know, at its best. It's just we've seen it. You know, when I was a kid, I used to watch those magazines, and, you know, and of course we grew up with the Arnolds and all the stuff, at least in my days. And, you know, like, it was like, whoa, you know, and, But the world of fitness has expanded tremendously in a lot of different areas, methodology, you know, modalities, and, you know, a lot of things. But there's always that discussion, like fitness versus bodybuilding, you know, fitness versus, you know, competing professionally in bodybuilding. But before we go into all that and what it takes, the nutrition and the hard work and how many times you have to work out or how many hours, all the stuff, you know, let's talk about your story, because it is an interesting story that got you into this world. So let's talk about it, especially, you know, again, we're in the, you know, 2024, but the discussion about women and fitness and bodybuilding, there's still some of that discussion out there. So let's break all that's down to our audiences and bring them closer to the picture of what it is, what it does. And then also let's talk about your business, your coaching, and what do you do and how you help people get fit and get better in their body and shape.
Okay.
That's so, a lot.
It is a lot, but okay, let's, how I got started. Well, I have to take you far, far back. After finishing school, got into college, I gained weight, like we all do. I was very, very athletic as a teenager, so I never had a weight problem, so to speak. And well, it really hit me hard. And what I did, unfortunately, I tried just every diet on this planet. Oh, you name it, I did it. Caloric restriction, keto, like whatever it was, and whatever I got my hands on, I tried the diet, which was very harsh on the body, and of course, failed every time. And you know that game of yo-yoing up and down. And I mean, it messes with your head as well. And you feel like you're never getting to the body you want to have. And with me, I ended up having an eating disorder and I ended up in a hospital. So it was a tough awakening in my life where I said, oh my gosh, I gotta change. I'm going to kill myself in the process of just fitting in a dress. And know what I'm saying? Like, this is where I'm coming from. I was not in the best relationship. It all came together, you know, like the perfect storm from the outside. It looked so perfect. I was in banking. I had a finance degree and I was in management in a huge bank. And there were only two females at the time who were in management. So I had a little bit of pressure at work. And like I said, relationship was not the best. And I always thought I needed to present this perfect picture. Everything had to look good. And what I was able to control in this total chaos was my food. So that's what played into this whole scenario as well. Ending up with major issues, and I went back to school and I got my nutrition degree in Germany. That all happened in Germany. And I wanted to learn how this works. Like, what is the secret sauce, so to speak? Like, what do I need to do to accomplish my goal and maintain it? Like, how does this work? So I got my nutrition degree. And then because of all the craziness I did, I was skinny fat, so to speak. I lost all my muscle. And I was not, like, I couldn't open a drawer. I couldn't open a bottle of water because I had no muscle left because of all the crazy diets I did. It was so harmful. And I went to the gym and got a gym membership, and I just started working out, not having a plan or clue what I was doing. But I was just moving and trying to build muscle. And of course, again, reading whatever I could to learn how to create a body I wanted. So by doing that, I got much, much better. But you know, if you're not living your authentic self, if you're trying always to pretend and present a life you don't actually truly live, you hit a wall again. So my late 20s, that happened. And I just said, okay, that's it. I broke up with my boyfriend at the time. I quit my job and I packed two suitcases and I said, I'm going to the United States and I take a break and I just want to learn English. So I got a student visa and I signed up for English as a second language. And that's what I did. At that time, not being in shape again, hiding behind big t-shirts and just learning English and wanted to heal from everything. And I fell in love with the United States. Oh my gosh, I love this country. So I'm like, I want to stay. And what did I do? Of course, I drove by a bank, stopped, walked in and asked for an internship. I did the same mistake again. Well, I didn't know any better. I knew I was good at that. So I just applied for an internship at a bank. And funny enough, I got the internship, another visa for 18 months. I was buying time, basically. I mean, 18 months, I was not allowed to work anywhere else. Of course, I didn't make any money as an internship. So it was a little rough, but I was able to stay. And that's all what was on my like agenda. That's all I wanted, get established. So, well, time going by, I said, I have to figure something out. So my immigration lawyer actually said, well, if you don't have any special skills, you can't stay. I can't get you a work visa as a banker because there's so many bankers in the United States, there's no way. I said, well, I don't have any special skills as a banker, but I can lift things up and put them down really well. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, I'm really good at bodybuilding. And she said, okay, well, if you can get a world champion title for the United States, I can get you a green card.
Oh.
Exactly. That's what I thought. I'm
like, who know? I mean, that's an interesting one. Okay.
Yeah. And it's a stretch. I mean, a world champion title. Okay. I said, right, all I can do is actually prep and see how far I can get. So there is the motivation. It's a start. So what I did, I got my old journals with all my diets. I got my workout journals and I started prepping. I started prepping for the Miss Florida show in natural bodybuilding. And I competed in the physique class. So there are different classes. You start out in bikini, then there is figure, then there is physique, and then there is the bodybuilding class. So I was actually on the upper end already, like on the bigger like size, but because of all the stuff I already did, I put on some muscle. And like I said, it was all journaled, so I knew what I was doing. And with the studying I had under my belt, like I said, it wasn't by accident. I mean, it was precise what I was doing. I was calculating the macros and everything. So that being said, I mean, I cleaned up my diet, focused. I did the Miss Florida and I actually won Miss Florida, got qualified for Team USA. I went to Los Angeles, competed at the Miss USA and won Miss USA.
Wow.
And then I was qualified for Miss Universe. So, I mean, this is the thing. When you're in the flow and when you're doing what you're supposed to do, it just goes. I had no health issues. I had no mental problems. I mean, it was just like all good. It went well. And I was so energized and so like enjoying the whole process. And so there was Miss Universe. And I remember I was like, I made an American flag bikini. And in the like, there is prejudging and then there are the finals. And my goal was actually to show this bikini in the finals. That's what was on my agenda. That's what I want to do. Okay. And I did. And I remember when they announced, place fifth, fourth, third, and I was still standing on stage. I'm like, wow, is this really happening right now? when they announced the second place winner, you can actually see how I checked my number. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just won Miss Universe. I could not believe it. Like, this was like one of those moments. And yeah, so I got the Miss Universe title. And in that moment, to be honest with you, I felt relieved. It was not the happiest moment, to be honest. Happiest I was during the journey getting there. That was the happiest time. And it sounds so crazy because was I dieting hard? Yes, very hard. Was I working out hard? Oh, I was working out very hard. Yes, it was hard, but that was the happiest. It's a funny thing when you ask me about it. Yeah, it was the prep time, the journey to get there. And yeah, after winning Miss Universe, I said, okay, I have to just live my authentic life. I got to change now. I got my green card. Officially, I could work. I can do whatever I want to do now. I can create the future I wanted to have. So I decided to get my personal training license. I started out as a personal trainer. And again, I had no clients, nothing. And just a lot of experience how the body works and how you can sculpture and create bodies. That's what I knew. But other than that, that was it. And I built my business up very quickly. And then I started getting into health coaching because I saw that the training was such a small part of the overall health concept that I needed to offer a bigger service to provide the results the client was expecting. And what also shifted was, yeah, to be honest with you, the bodybuilding part is very vain. I just wanted to look good. Yes, that's how what it was. That's how I started. And what I learned though, and what shifted, is that health and having the right body composition goes hand in hand. So the health aspect is now, I would say, more important than the look, but the look comes with it. And if I have clients who really want to compete or are just focused on changing their look, or if I have a client who is insulin resistant or has high blood pressure or is a breast cancer survivor or whatever, and they come to me as a client, most of the time, the structure of the program is the same. The outcome is the same. So that's interesting to me. But yeah, that's my journey, basically.
Well, first of all, it's just an amazing journey. And I mean, you have the title of Miss Universe, and that is quite a bit. There's not too many. There's only one a year, I guess, you know. So how many is that? I mean, in the world of fitness, it's very small, you know, elite group that gets to that level. So that in itself is just an achievement that is like life worthy, right? I mean, it's you're up there with the top of the top in terms of, you know, the fitness world. But now before I get into all that, you know, the stuff, I want to just talk about, you know, in your brief introduction, you know, and you summarized your whole life in about 10 minutes, but there's so many things that we can extract just for our audiences, you know, because there's so many things that people can relate to, people can aspire to do. And, you know, there's motivation, inspiration, there's ambition, there's all the stuff that you have there. There's also a real story of a human who had struggles early on in their life with their own physique, health, and just like, you know, with diets and stuff. And so I want to take some moment to talk about that part, because a lot of young folks, especially today, and you probably could relate to it. I mean, our food is just not, you know, good anymore. I mean, it's just bad. And it's a fact. And you know what? The industry knows it. The people know it. There's a lot of talk about it everywhere. We're on the health channel, the Trisha's channel, the Fit and Fab channel. So this is our world. We got to talk about these things. But really, the fact is, we see obesity now at its highest. We see diabetes at early age. We see all these problems, you know, stress, all these things are happening. It's disrupting hormones. I mean, all the stuff that we have, from plastics to pollution, to food that we had with all these, I guess, chemicals and pesticides and all these carcinogens and all these things that are in there. It's really bad for us, right? And now, I'm assuming, you know, it took a while to get all this stuff, and, you know, things have changed over years, but to date, I mean, really, you know, the problem is just worse. But in your case, you know, you were younger, you were going through your, you know, your body, you could not, you know, understand how it worked, and you know, you figured it out. But you figured it out after a lot of trials. And yep. that's one thing I want to just note for people is that, folks, doesn't matter. We all can go through very difficult time at any given time. Here's mm-hmm. the key, I think, that Angela had, is that she never gave up on herself. I think that's the biggest one, because had she done that, she would never made it to where she is today. And, you know, all these titles or all these achievements wouldn't have happened, because she would have literally said, okay, I'm not worthy. I'm not going to do this. I can't do this. And that's it, which would be a negative mindset. So again, that takes us to that really how we see ourselves, how we do things, how we build ourselves. So that's a big one. Again, never give up, folks. You hear this over and over. Everybody out there is talking about that, that has a positive message. It's all about never giving up, about a positive mindset. And you know what? You do what it takes to make it happen. So you didn't give up on yourself, but you did it the right way, meaning that you've tested things, worked, didn't work. You journaled everything, you documented everything, you learned from it, and then you kept going. That's one thing to do it correctly. And then you figured, like, I can do more, and you went to education so you can learn about this whole body, how it works with, and what nutrition, the macros, the measurements. So, because you needed to do it as a surgical operation. You know, you can just do it from like, hey, you can do this diet. And you said it, yo-yo diets are plenty. And again, there's diet, there's nutrition. I mean, we confuse those two things. I mean, dieting is basically starving yourself from things, you know, or taking one thing versus the other to kind of reduce, and you drop the fat, you know, maybe, but then it can come back. And that's very well documented that when you stop any diet, it's not consistent. You can't have it for life, and then it's going to go a problem, and then you go back, and sometimes it goes back worse. So you didn't do it. Go ahead. You wanted to say something.
Yeah. I think the interesting part is we are so focused on body fat. And I think that is the wrong approach. And we have to, and this is also the measurement, the way how we measure, we step on a scale and we go by a number. And that's a huge, huge problem. And it messes with our head. And what I learned is you have to focus on healthy muscle. And a lot of women don't understand that concept. They're so focused on their body fat percentage and on a scale number that they don't understand, hey, wait a minute, I need healthy muscle tissue in order to reduce my body fat. So it's an opposite approach. Yeah.
Well, that's powerful. That's very powerful. And, you know, we're going to dive into that further because as you said, you know, that is the concept of most of us that are not in the world of fitness and deep dive, you know, into this concept, we really just follow what the BMI concept is. That's been the standardized version of things. Body mass index, right? You know, you put yourself on scale, you sit in there. Even now they have these advanced, you know, scales that give you the app and calculate your body mass. But I've talked to specialists where that is not really the best measurement, you know, as it is. That's an old standard that's been used and is still out there. But there's more to it. And you said it. But I think the you touch on something that's very important for people to just kind of listen to for a second, is that we all look at the fat part, as you said, because that's what people, it's the image, right? You know, I'm chubby, I got a little bit of fluff here and there, whatever. So that's what people look. But you're right. You know, fat is just, you know, a deposit of extra stuff that is not being used technically, right? But I mean, there's more to it, but I'm just simplifying. but really, we're supposed to be muscle-based. I mean, as humans, you got bone muscle and, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, and like, okay, so why is the muscle important? And what is the fat? The fat is a storage of energy. And the body always wants to survive. That's bottom line. And the body always adapts to take the easiest way to survive. That's what it is. Okay, if you understand that principle, then you can understand why the muscle is so important, because the muscle is, first of all, a glucose sponge, okay? So if it's interesting too with blood work, we look at a snapshot of the blood and we see some numbers, but what we don't understand is those numbers are created because the structure of the cells are broken. The structure of the muscle cells are not working properly. So what happens is, for example, if we talk about glucose, you eat carbs, they go into your bloodstream, right? glucose is high, you produce insulin. Insulin is basically the key. What goes to the cell opens it up and lets the glucose in. That's the regulation. That's the muscle. You open up that muscle cell and get the glucose in, and it goes out of the bloodstream. You're fine. Now, if you don't have enough muscle cells or broken, damaged ones, because they've never been used, they break down, they're damaged. Well, the blood sugar cannot go anywhere. It goes back to the liver, hits the liver, it spills over in the liver. And what does the liver do? We have to put it somewhere. So we create visceral fat.
Mm.
And then we have a problem. Now, how do we fix this? Not with medication, not with all kinds of crazy diets. You can't do with a diet, but how long do you want to maintain the restricted diet? You can't. How about we lift some weights and we get some healthy muscle cells going who can actually uptake the glucose? And that's how you heal your metabolism too. Yeah. Just an example.
Well, Angela, I have to say, you know, I've had quite a bit of discussions of this, and I watch this stuff like closely because I'm involved in it. But I think you made it the simplest way possible that I've heard so far and how it all works. And frankly, you know, I mean, I will take it from you because this is your world. You know it inside out. You know the nutrition part. You've studied it. You've built it. You've actually demonstrated, and you are teaching it. So really, you are a resource and a source of information that we can actually really vouch for and actually take the information from. So thank you for breaking it down. And, you know, it's amazing how you said it. And by the way, that is a fact about the insulin and what it is. You know, there's a guy, Gary, out there. He's talking about these things. And, you know, you listen to his work. I mean, it's like amazing because most of us, we're looking at the top stuff, you know, the superficial, which is what's being marketed. Because, again, there is, you know, we need to sell some drugs and stuff. And I'm, you know, I'm not going into politics here, but the fact is that's just how it is. You know, there is industries that are competing against, you know, healthy, you know, diets and all the stuff. But, you know, because it's, listen, we live in a world that is capitalistic, you know, and, you know, money is good, profits are good. And somehow, you know, there's benefits to someone that is not healthy, right? You know, it's what it is. Diabetes sells a lot of, you know, drugs and products, right? But so that's one thing. But really, nutrition, and even that, I mean, I think there's some sort of a marriage made in hell concept between industries to kind of work together, you know, in a tango, a tandem, you know, concept whereby food, pharma, you know, works, healthcare. I mean, this triangle can actually be very interesting.
Yeah, it's so funny because there's so many smart scientists who actually work for food industry to create flavors or certain things what are going to happen in our brain that we get addicted to certain foods. And it's just like you said, there's a lot of money behind it. And it's just, you have to educate a lot and know a lot about food to be able to maneuver through all of this. And there is so much noise out there. And what do you really do? And I understand that it's confusing. Yeah.
Well, and by the way, I love what you said, you know, and that's a big one because I was just reading something literally a couple of days ago because I'm doing these things about the Nutritious Channel. So we're posting some things that are specific. But you know, the research is clear. I mean, they do say that, like you said, I love what you said, scientists. I mean, these are great people who have green brains and knowledge, but they somehow using it for a good reason, but it's really for, you know, the outcomes are bad because what's being, you know, done with that information is creating these, as you said, these addictive, you know, substances and or whatever it is, you know, chemical, you know, things that can create that craving and whatever. And, you know, I mean, from food coloring to preservatives to all these things, not very good for us. I mean,
no. And I mean, I see it in clients. I mean, if we talk about a sugar addiction, wow, is that brutal? I mean, those people, they get up in the middle of the night to drive to a supermarket to get some sugar, and no matter what form it is. And it's a hijacked brain, and it's chemistry what happens in the brain. And the hard part is, I mean, it's funny with drugs, let's talk about it, it's all white powder. You know what I'm saying? When you think about it, sugar. You know what I'm saying? Sugar, cocaine, like whatever, it's white powder. Think about that. But anyway, what happens is with the sugar now, it's hidden in so many foods and people need to eat. So if you say, okay, I will never ever touch drugs again, and you just don't, you're going to be okay. But with food, you have to eat every day. So there is this battle. And if it comes to sugar addiction in the brain, there are pathways, they're like riverbeds. And when you have a sugar addiction and you withdraw, those riverbeds basically dry out, it's empty, and you're okay. But when you, whatever, you have a food, what hits that, when you have hidden sugars in it and you fill up those riverbeds with water again, boom, you're right back on. And what happens is you literally have, I call it like food talks, food conversations with yourself. And it's like, when can I eat again? When can I eat again? Is it time to eat again? Oh, I want this. I want this. And this makes you crazy. And at one point, the willpower only holds that long. And most of us is like in the evening when it hits us, you know, like there is literally a willpower gap in the evening. Because what happens is in the morning, I mean, I'm sure you have the same, like in the morning, your breakfast is 100% perfect, no problem, because you wake up and you have still the willpower, you're fresh. But then we are answering text messages, emails, phone calls, we are in traffic, we are at work, we take care of family, the willpower declines, you get sapped, you make so many decisions during the day, when you get home and you're not prepared, there is no willpower, it's gone. And you open the fridge and whatever is there, you're going to eat it. And that's the tricky part, you know, if it comes to sugar addictions. Yeah.
Well, thank you. There's quite a bit there. So you're right. I mean, sugar is a sweet drug. I mean, it's really, that's what it is. It is an addictive, you know, power. And it is not, well, it is natural to a degree, but not the way we have it. I mean, we have sugars in all the natural stuff, but everything now that we have is artificial or added sugar, you know, right. And that's the problem. And, you know, like, I love, like, you know, so we've done actually some, we were in some fairs and we did these, and we had some nutritionists on team, and they had these, the sodas, like, guess how many grams of sugar in each one of those. And then you see from Coke to Snapple to this and the other, and you can see, like, you know, and most people get it wrong, like which one has the highest or the lowest, but it's all bad for you. I mean, at the end of the day, other than water, and even some waters may have some sugar in them, you're not going to have that, right? So it is, and then we can talk about water on its own, but that's another world. But you're right. So all these chemical reactions are happening, and it is almost impossible to have a sugar-free diet. I mean, you could, but it's very difficult. As you said, you look at the supermarket, everything, you know, from your breads. Now, here's the funny thing is that centuries ago, people ate the basics, the vegetables, the legumes, the fruits, and the carnivore diet, or the meats, right? And, you know, maybe some dairy that was natural dairy. Now, the word natural is almost not there anymore. Now we have organic versus non-organic. And even that's questionable, because what is organic, you know, and there's questions about that. So there's all these things. The food that we have today in our markets is not really what used to be in our ancestors, you know, cabinets or whatever, say before fridges, right? So, but the fact is, you know, they had basically, they hunted, you know, they had meat, you know, they harvested, they had fruits and vegetables of the season, and they ate those things, you know, as natural as possible. So that world is no longer existing. Well, maybe some parts of the world, but not as much.
Messi, this is such a good point. What happened is we created a food pyramid which does not make any sense to me, because what we are teaching is such a high carb intake and high fat intake, and the protein is very, very low. And this is, I mean, officially we know that this is the diet for failure. This is the unhealthiest diet we can do. And this is what gets recommended to us. It's a very, like I said, it's confusing. And like you said, the natural foods, they're high fibrous foods. The vegetable, high fiber. So what we're doing normally is like a high protein, high fiber diet, and add the fats in. We don't have a lot of the sugary foods naturally in our food supply. So just by going by nature, it tells you a lot about how you should eat. That being said, applying it is a different ballgame. But yeah, so as you can tell, I am a protein forward person if it comes to dieting, and for several reasons, because protein actually creates satiety. You feel fuller, which is such a beautiful thing. Like, you eat and you're satisfied. How cool is that? And then you add, so I always say protein first. So you add the fiber to it. When you come to the carbs and fats, you're actually full. You don't even want it anymore. So that's such a nice thing to incorporate that and get a little bit of peace of mind if it comes to that. And protein has a thermogenic effect in the digestion. So it's very hard for the body to digest protein. So 30% gets just like burned off by digesting it, which is another good benefit.
Well, again, and protein itself, I mean, if you break it down, there's amino acids, there's other things, you know, so it's really, again, building blocks. And so it's needed. And you're right. I mean, you stated something that's very powerful, the pyramid, you know, the food pyramid, right? You know, I grew up with seeing the same food pyramid that everybody's seeing, you know, but now if you start thinking about it, who put that pyramid together? You know, so I'm not going to go further, but the question is just for you guys, you know, to listen, whoever's listening, just think about that for a minute. It's been there for a reason. And that's, again, we talk about marketing and the power of marketing, especially in industries. It is real. And you see it, you think that's what it is. And even if it's recommended by, let's say, your doctor or someone, it is recommended, there's an agenda behind it. Why? And it's being taught even to them as that's the real thing. Now, obviously, some are better, you know, I guess, knowledgeable, and they will know what it is. You know, and that's the thing. It's really not as clear as people think. And you almost have to reverse it to actually have a real pyramid that you're supposed to have, you know, and you can see that is not, you know, almost the opposite of where we were as a human, you know, species. And that's the other thing. Right. I mean, you're right. I mean, we are muscle, you know, primarily we're supposed to have that, and you can get some of these natural things in. You don't need all the sugars because you're going to get enough energy from your fruits and stuff. And there's that. And even the carbs back in the days, I mean, you had real wheat, you had real grains, you had real yeast that was fermented from that, not no chemical stuff, nothing. Now, we're not even adding the concept of pesticides, insecticides, and all the stuff that we use today. I'm talking about just natural. Yeah. Please, you were going to interject something.
Yeah, no. Well, we ate the whole thing. You know, we never separated anything. And this is what hits us so, like, extreme. Like, if you look at flour, everything has been removed. Of course, it shoots right into your system. Very, very harmful in what it does, you know. And another fun fact, what I looked up when I came to this country, I was like, what is RDA? Like, what is RDA? What does this mean? And it's recommended daily allowance. So this is what we should have every day, RDA. Like, okay. I'm like, huh? Where's this number coming from? Just curious. I looked it up, and that's from World War II. What a soldier would need, the minimum food supply to be able to march. That's what this number
is. I'm sorry. That's an interesting fact.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I'm like, how can we still use this nowadays as a recommended daily allowance? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. So yeah, that's why, I mean, the protein intake, for example, is very low because it's from that World War II thing. Like, okay. I mean, that's how far this gets you.
Well, it is funny you said that, but the fact is, you're right. A lot of the stuff we use today is ancient, whether it's in business structure, whether it's in, you know, all these modalities that we've been used to, they're actually been, you know, applied for a century. And we've just been, you know, so even our school system, everything's been almost designed in a certain format, and it just keeps going. What I do love today with the technology that we have, with the social media, with the access that is open, we have a lot more experts that are not, I guess, mainstream, but they are really experts in what they do, such as yourself and other folks, you know, that are really doing the work and going out there and talking about finally bringing the information that is not skewed in a way or the other, right? It's really natural stuff. And by the way, that's what our media is about. We're not We just want the expert to talk about the real thing, and whatever people want to make out of it, they can do. I mean, it's up to the people to make the decisions for themselves. But the fact is, at least the information is there. And back in the days, you would need to know. And if you get to the source that is standardized source, you will probably get the standardized answer. You know, now you have a little bit of both ends. You can see from one left to the other, and then you figure out your way in. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all there is, right? We have the access. And I think that's the most important thing. But I love what you said. What is the recommended daily? I mean, what's good for you may not be good for me, right? You know, and, you know, that's the other thing. We generalize for women, for men, for children. But it's really, even for women or men, it could be a different value, you know, tremendously. Someone that is 6 foot, you know, seven, someone who's 5 foot may not have the body. All the stuff changes things, right? So please go ahead. You want to say something?
Yeah, and I mean, everybody has a different background, what food you have been exposed, you have a different microbiome, you have a different lifestyle. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And individuality is so important. And this is also a point, I wish I could just pull out a plan and say, hey, this is the perfect plan for everybody. It's not. You really have to, there are basics, but you have to listen to the person and what's really going on so you can create a lifestyle what fits for them and they can maintain and be successful. So yeah, super important.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. That's another one, right? I mean, you know, you have these standardized diets or formulas, right? This is what you need. This is what you need. But as you said, you know, it's very customizable. I mean, you'll have to have millions and millions of versions forever because your genetics and my genetics are totally different. You know, two people can look identical, can be twins, literally, and still have different needs, right? You know, so that's the other. I mean, could be that kind of close, yet So far apart, but we don't seem to do that. So again, we just generalize things. This is like, you know, a bucket, right? But I mean, it is to genetics, to ancestry, to the exposure, to even the part of the world you live in. I mean, you know, someone living in the north versus someone living in the south, someone living in Central Africa, you know, is going to change the body dynamics, what you need, you know, in terms of your body. So all these things are real and we just need to be aware. And the folks, again, we're not against anyone specifically or any type of formula. You know, it's up to you to decide what is going to work for you. If you think your body is not responding, then look. And I love what you just said there. You asked and you did the research. Most of us don't ask. We just take it for what it's worth. If I tell you this is a dollar, you say it's a dollar. I mean, you know, a true story. I used to tell my kids, you know, fish, you know, we made fish nuggets home and they didn't like fish. So we said there was chicken. So they were very tiny. They actually thought it was chicken. So, and the concept here is that you can tell someone the reason we know the labels of things, because we were told what they are. If chicken was told to us as being beef, we would just think beef is chicken and chicken is, you know, and the opposite. It's really just labels, folks. You know, what does that mean? But do we question things? We don't. Most of us don't. And when we don't, we basically follow. And when you follow, you follow. You could follow the right, you could follow the wrong. It doesn't matter. You're just a follower. But if you do the research, and we owe it to ourselves and anything in our lives, doesn't matter what it is, we need to find out for ourselves and then get the conviction of whatever it is that you're looking for. And then if you're happy, you're happy. Listen, if you look good, you feel that this is who you want to be, that's what we want. But just don't do it because somebody tells you or because Hurricane says or because Angela, do the work. You know, I mean, we all owe it to ourselves. I think that's the bottom line. We are only sharing information. There's plenty of it out there. Take it and listen. And then a little bit of time is going to go by and you're going to have enough variety of information. Then you start making your own, you know, version of things and what's going to work for you. And you do the work. Yes, go ahead, Angela.
Is this also interesting when I think about myself, like what worked for me in my 20s? Oh my gosh, doesn't work in my 30s. I had to adopt, change, improve, and now I'm in my 40s and same thing. Doesn't work what I did in my 20s. Like it's always a dance. And you always have to evaluate what's going on and adjust and make the improvements you need. You know, it's never a straight line. It's always something where you have a stop or a detour or something what holds you back or sets you back or gets you off the track. And this is totally fine. And I think when people start out with, okay, I get my health in order or I start working out or whatever, and I explain something, they see the straight line. but this is not how it's going to be. And whatever happens on that journey, it's okay. And we'll fix it and we dial it back in and we go back on the street, on the road and do our things. And I think a lot of people are too hard on themselves and give up too quickly. You have to have some patience with yourself and you have to be gentle to yourself. It's not a quick fix. It will take time. But then when you have it down and it goes well, it's easy. Then you have a totally different quality of life.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, first of all, we established that you never give up, right? You know, and that's the key. And I love what you said. And that's an important point that you just made about every age is different. Every phase of our lives is different. Because I think I hear this all the time. Like, so I get various, you know, guests, right? And specialists and experts. And it depends on the age, you know, group themselves. They have a different perspective on things because they gauge it from their own experience at that time. But have they, you know, crossed a certain, you know, maybe age barrier, they will have different experiences. They'll probably adjust and adapt, you know, their own pitch, you know, to that, you know, time zone or that age group, right? But at the end of the day, you know, there is the science, there is the research, this, that. But the fact is, I'll tell you, I love it. Exactly what you said. When I was in my 20s, I had no limits of what I could do. I mean, I would just jump off anything. I would be like, cool about it. You know, 30s, it was like perfect. 40s, things start like, you know, getting a little rougher. And believe me, I hit the 50s and all the aches that I didn't expect that started happening. You know, now, obviously, I'm maintaining. I'm still looking and tweaking and making sure, like, what changed in my diet, maybe what changed in my lifestyle, whatever. But all those things affect, you know, whether you like it or not, we age as part of the process. It's just how we age and how we do it and how we maintain. And adaptation is a key.
Yeah, and I think that's such a good point. It's never too late. This is the beauty of it. Never too late. The muscle, for example, improves, grows, can heal at any age. Doesn't matter. It's a misconception that, oh, only in my 20s. Oh, no. Muscle can grow or build or like heal at any age, 70s, 80s. I saw it and I did it with clients. So that's a beautiful thing. And what are we talking about? That's also what you mentioned, so important. It's interesting. We talk a lot about lifespan, how long we are going to live and we want to live longer and yada, yada. So I come from, I want to improve my health span. What does this mean? Interestingly, I just looked up the numbers. In the United States, the average lifespan is 79 years. The average health span, meaning how you can live to your full capacity, healthy, enjoy the things you like to do, no aches, no pains, is 69. There is like 63. There is a huge gap, a 20% gap. 79 life, 63 health span. Huge, 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 huge. What does this mean? The last years of your life, you can't do it to your full capacity. You need help. You can't do your hobbies. You can't travel. Maybe you can't even go shopping on your own. You can't play with your grandkids. You don't have the life quality. And for me, it's always the question, what do you want? And you have to put the work in to be able to have a long health span. And yeah, that's what my clients want.
You know, I thank you for hitting on that one, because I do have a rule about that personally, and very simple rule. First of all, I don't believe that we can extend our life. You know, I just believe that we all have a time frame, right? You know, you have an expiration date and it's a fact. And by the way, the term expiration, for people that be like, we don't expire. Actually, medically, that's what they say. You know, when you go to the hospital, someone died, they don't say they died, they said they just expired. Sadly, I mean, you know, it sounds like we're just a package of food here, but the fact is we do have a limit, you know, in our life, And there's only two ways to live, you know. I mean, two ways out. Either you live, and you can live not healthy, or live very vitally, you know, vitality, health, all the stuff, and effective living, as you said, with all your emotion, all your stuff until the end. And that's really it. As I think, what we should start going adapting right now. The word is really health span, as you said. I love it. I think you should trademark that one if it's not yet, because I think it makes a very good, you know, not lifespan, it's health span. Because you can live, you know, people are in the 30s and not living healthy now. I mean, you know, we mentioned obesity earlier, and, you know, I see it all the time. You know, it is really sad. Now, again, we're not generalizing, but there is an epidemic out there. There is a problem, you know, and in the U.S. more than in other parts of the world, it's just a fact. Whether we like it or not, it is real. Studies show it. We can see it physically. As a matter of fact, you know, if you look at pictures of just beaches, you know, from the 60s, the 70s, and the early 1900s to now, you can tell, like, what the hell happened. There were no people with, you know, obese, you know, bodies and stuff. And by the way, this is not making fun of anyone who has weight. This is the fact of, like, whether you are living in the body you're supposed to have versus living in a body that has been inflated with, you know, things that your body is not using. I mean, really, that's what it is. If your body is not using anything, it's just going to store, as you said.
And, you know, Hurricane, what is the other thing, what I see, you know, it's like, or what I get a lot is the question, oh, this is too hard. This is hard. Like, oh no, I can't train and diet, blah, 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 blah. Well, wait a minute. You're telling me it's not hard to have 100 pounds overweight and trying to get upstairs or trying to buy clothes or trying to travel and fit in an airplane seat? It's always, I always say, pick your hard. Life is hard. Okay. Just acknowledge it. Life is hard. Pick your heart. And that changes your mindset as well. Because if you say, okay, it's hard to work out and hard to have a clean, good diet, maybe at the beginning, but the more your mindset changes and the more benefits you see, it's really not that hard anymore because you enjoy life in a different way. And I pick my heart. You know what I'm saying?
No, well, thank you. And actually, that's a real fact. I mean, you know, anyone who's experienced weight gain will know that it's not fun. You cannot climb the stairs. Your knees are hurting. Your back is hurting. You can't even bend down to tie your shoes. You know, you're breathing heavy. You can't walk. You know, all the bad stuff is going to happen to you. You sit. You're not comfortable. You know, you're not in a good position. You're always tired. All that stuff is going to happen when you gain a lot of weight. Listen, I'm not saying it because I just watched this. I've been there. I've gained weight in a part of my life, about 50 pounds more than I should have. And I felt those pains. So when I'm sharing it, it's not like, you know, it's somebody's story. It's mine. And, you know, I'm running at 200 pounds, you know, and, you know, I feel good about my size and all this stuff. But there was a time I was 250, and 250 was not where I supposed to be at all, not for my height. And it did feel painful. And I can tell you, I mean, even if I gain 10 more pounds, I still start feeling those, you know, a little bit of less vitality and less movement the way I like it. So I like my shape, you know, when it's lesser. I like, you know, when, and by the way, someone says, well, that's you, Hurricane. Well, that's right. You know, it makes me feel good. But again, do your, as you said, you got to find your heart and your way. But here's the thing. It's the same concept. We say, I don't have no time. Well, you can make your time for sickness, or you can make your time for health. It's up to you. If you don't make time right now for your health, you got to make your time for your sickness and illness. That's going to be, you know, harmful because it's going to hurt you financially, physically, mentally, everything else. As opposed to, you know, feel good about yourself by doing things. And I love what you said, Angela. You work out. Here's a good high about it. You feel good about it. Your energy level is super high. You just like full of life. The opposite, you'll just feel like lazy. As you said, you go home, you're tired, you just munch more. You just kind of like, oh, there's no energy, I'm depleted. And that's really what it is, folks. We just want you to feel good and be good and enjoy yourself. Now, whatever that good is, it's up to you. We don't force, you know, an opinion on you. If you're watching, listening, if you love yourself, and I think you do, we all do, if you love your loved ones around you and you want them to feel good, you know, this is a good message for them to just to. Now, it's not going to be easy. And I thank you for sharing that. It's not easy. It's going to take a little bit of heart. And here's the thing. It takes a lot, you know, a very quick time to actually gain that much weight. And it creeps up on you. But then, for example, if you want to get out of it, you know, a couple of weeks of gaining weight can cost you months to actually get rid of it, you know. And as you said, more sacrifice, more this, more that, more money, but potentially all the things. So it's not easy, folks. But it's we got to do it. Now, the more we do this right from the get-go, the probably the better, you know, we can do it. But again, as love what you said earlier as well, it's never too late. We can do this. And thank you for sharing that specific thing about any age can be, you know, changed. And muscle, we do lose muscle mass as we age, but you can push it up. You can build it up. You can maintain it by doing. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. Actually, sarcopenia, muscle loss, starts in your 30s, believe it or not. And it's 1% roundabout, 1% per year. So think about it. It's a big amount. It adds up when you're in your 50s and 60s. And this is not like, oh, what just happened? That's gradually. So, and totally preventative. The other thing, what I think is very important to know and interesting, if you're bedridden for a week, for example, and I talk about it could be also a beach vacation where you just sit on a pool for 7 days. Same kind of concept, but God forbid you are bedridden because of illness, you lose between 3 to 5 pounds of quality muscle just by not moving in a week. And this is built, just to putting it out there, if you work hard, it can be built in 1 year. So this is what you're losing in a week. You have to, yeah. So just put it in relationship. So how like important it is to keep the muscle going. And now when you lose that amount of muscle, what happens then? Muscle is active tissue. Muscle determines what your basal metabolic rate is. Basically how much you can eat without gaining weight. This is the calories you have per day without, like, this is what your body needs to function. Now, if you lose that huge amount, this goes down. So all of a sudden, you want to start moving again. You keep eating what you're eating, but the muscle is not there anymore to actually burn it off. Well, you gain weight. And that's a slippery slope. And you have to understand the concept that you actually have to get back on track and build the muscle up to keep a higher metabolic rate so you can eat more. Very simple.
Well, thank you. That's great facts, actually. I mean, really, like who, I mean, we, these are not things that people know about, you know, just by default. I mean, the fact that you just mentioned how easy 1 week can drop 5% of that, and then it will take a year to build it back up. Just think about that. I mean, so basically what I think Angela's saying, we can't stop building muscle. Zero time. Because if you do, you will lose it. I think that's my take.
Consistency is key. Just be consistent. And this is also the thing, like, I get so many questions, how much do I have to work out? It's actually not that much. But be consistent, do it every day if you can. Be active. And the sitting around and not moving is just not good for the body. Body does not like it. So always do something.
Well, you know, I might not make a joke about this, but I, you know, looking at your screen right now, your backdrop, you got a nice little rack behind you. And you said that's your living room. So I can see you watching TV and pumping. So for someone who has an excuse, you know what to do. You got to put something, some weights or whatever, dumbbells next to you while you're watching. If you want to be in a couch, that's fine. But just keep pumping some things. I believe it, I do it. I have those things. I carry the small ones and I'm just pumping whenever I have a chance, even in the car. You know, I'm just driving and when I have a break, I just do, you know, a couple of curls and just do it. But I mean, it's light stuff. It's not a big deal. I mean, 5 pounds, you know, by my side, you know, I'm on a light. I just do 10 reps and then the next light, I do another 10 on the other side. I mean, I'm not distracting, by the way. So someone's like, oh, you're driving and doing stuff. No, it's just like when you're drinking coffee and you're driving, you can still do it. But that's not, so I'm not telling you and encouraging people. It's like Hurricane said, you can do this and get an accident. Don't do that. So just be careful. But the fact is, we can do it. And I love what you said. Consistency is the key. You mean, it's very simple. We hear it all the time. Again, Angela, you're sharing some new facts, but there's a lot of stuff that you're sharing that's common sense or we know about. And we just have to apply it and add some more knowledge that we grab in, and then we're just getting a better place. Now let's talk about, I know we've kind of talked in general, but now let's talk about man versus woman, physique type, you know. Because there's a big debate, like, well, women and men are made different. You know, there's a different way of, you know, looking at it. That's one question. The other one I want to talk about is you know, working out, fitness versus muscle building. And the reason I'm separating this, because a lot of people do a lot of cardio aerobic stuff. You know, they do a lot of, I don't know, treadmill, you know, bike, you know, all these other things, you know, so that's good to do your cardio, do stuff, but that is, you know, probably not building that muscle. So let's talk about the difference between the two and what is the best formula to combine all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good question. Big question.
you can handle it.
Yeah. Oh, right. Let's get on it. I always say, if you want to see results, first and foremost, resistance training. You have to progress and you have to always challenge the muscle in a way that it wants to adapt and gets better. You cannot, like with cardio, you burn calories, yes. You probably train your cardiovascular system if it's a little bit higher intensity. That's great. But it's actually getting the calories out, burning calories. That's what you're doing when you do cardio. If you want to get a healthy tissue, you want to do some resistance training. Does it matter if or what the workout is, if it's male or female? Not really. Very similar. Very, very similar. If it comes to a person who is interested in competing and actually sculpting the body and the body fat percentage is low, then I'll tweak it depending on what the strengths and weaknesses are. And then it will be very, very specific, the workout. That's sculpting. If I talk about all over health, if it's a beginner, first I have to create neural pathways, meaning the brain has to understand what muscle we are working. We have to build a connection. I want the person to know which muscle fiber we are using. And that's the way of building it. If you don't know what you're doing, well, again, if you don't know what you're eating and if you don't know what you're training, how do you want to see results? You won't. So it's always important to actually know, okay, this is what we're doing and this is the right form how to do it. When you do the resistance training, a good way, like for example, is doing three sets. I always start out with three sets and it's like, well, Angela, why three? Can I not do one set? Well, when you do one set, you're recruiting muscle fiber. They're already there. So this is not a challenge. The second and third round, then you start recruiting new muscle fiber and then you get the gains. So that's why I want at least three rounds, for example. And you can do with the reps, you can play around with it. You can get good results, actually up to 30 reps, which is high for me. I like the 8 to 12 reps because I want it quick. I go heavy and I stay between 8 and 12 reps and I want to work that muscle. And I'm in and out the gym or if I work out here between 30 and 40 minutes. That's it. That's what I do.
Well, thank you. Because a lot of people will think, well, for me to get into that big muscle, I got to be 7 days in the gym working like 7 hours a day. I mean, there were some stories. I mean, I think I've read, you know, even Arnold and some of the big guys, you know, they spend a lot of hours, you know, building. Now, again, I mean, when you compete, and I guess you got to, you know, stay up there. And as you mentioned, sculpting is a whole different world and you've been there. So, you know, you want to push, especially towards the latter part when you're ready to compete. But for the average person, that's not the case. We just want, as you said, build that fiber, get those reps, get those sets of threes and all these things and keep, you know, getting that the frame, the brain working as well, you know, to connect, which is, by the way, again, a lot of people may not consider that as a connection, the brain and the body. And you're right. I mean, and by the way, this is true. When you don't work, this happened to me back in days, like when I first started working out. I started since I was literally 9 martial arts, but I started weights when I was like in the teens. And I remember when I first started bench pressing and stuff, like, you know, you put a couple of plates and you're like, oh my God. And as your body and your brain gets used to it, you'd be like, okay, put some more. And you put some more and your brain is just getting adjusted to it. And same thing with leg, you know, push-ups, you know, when not push-ups, but leg press, right? When you put, you know, those machines and you put the weights, or even like when you squat, I don't do squats because my back, but definitely the machines, you know, you can pump the whole thing, you know, in time you can. And you think that is not very easy to do. You would do it. You build up to it, and you don't have to be bulky either. So you can do it, but it's progressive. Your mind's going to start thinking, you know, oh, this is a weight I can handle. Because the opposite will also be true. If you stop, you know, you put 20 pounds, like, oh my God, this is like heavy. Then you start doing it, then 50 will be like nothing, and so on and so forth. That's why you go to a gym. You see someone putting like 100 on one set. Like, what the hell's going on? You can't even lift 20. But that's because their brain is already, you know, already there, and there's enough muscle mass to do it. But so, go ahead, Angela. You wanted to interject because I want to ask a follow-up question on that one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, what I think is important too, I always put in functional exercises, multi-joint exercises, compound exercises, where we use more muscle in one movement, multiple joints. So there is a little challenge there, but you get so much more bang for your buck if you do that. Very isolated exercises. These are finishing exercises if you still want to do something. But real results there with the multi-joint exercises. Yeah. So you
Again, we're going to talk about your work and your coaching system and your training and how people can get to you. But we'll get to that in short. I know we're just past the hour, but you know what? This is so interesting. So I got a few more things for you. So here's the thing, Angela. Now, someone can say, well, you know, I'm pushing the muscle, I'm building the muscle, but what about my frame, my bones, my ligaments, you know? Because I think a lot of people, we've seen accidents happen where someone puts too much weight and they snap a leg or something, you know. So how does that work? Because I mean, how do we know that my bone structure can sustain all that weight when I'm putting, you know? And you know, it could be just the movement, it could be just the weight, the overweight. I mean, you don't want to pop as a twig, right? You know, want to make sure that, you know, things are consistent. So how do we prevent that? And how do you educate people not to overdo it?
Yes. Oh, good question. So, couple things. When you start out again, I want you to first get the proper form down. Form is everything. What is another thing, what is very important, is a good warm up. Either you warm up that muscle group, what you're going to work, or a total body warm up. So warming up, huge. Don't start and jump right in with the heavy weights. I always have warm up sets before I go into the heavy sets. Now, if it comes to tendons and ligaments, of course, there's not as much blood supply as in muscle. So the recovery time takes a little bit longer with ligaments and tendons than as muscle. With the muscle, you can recover if everything is optimal in 24 hours, 12 hours if you are like super on it with the nutrition and everything. Ligaments can take up to 72 hours, which is way longer. So that's why I always like the progression. We start slow with a baseline and let the ligaments and tendons adapt to the task as well, same as the muscle. Now, if it comes to the bones, here we go. That's why we want a healthy muscle tissue. Healthy muscle is heavy, by the way. Just a little comparison, a pound of body fat is the size of a basketball. The size of the pound of body, like muscle, is the size of my fist. So if you put on some good quality muscle, you're actually smaller, but you on the scale, you're quite heavy. Just saying. So just to put this in relation, again, body scale. But the muscle is heavy, so, and the body always adapts. So guess what happens? If you have healthy muscle, the bones adapt and get stronger as well. This is the best prevention for osteoporosis. Of course, you want to lift. And this is why, for example, I like free weights and like overhead presses, for example, because the overhead press puts pressure on the spine and makes the spine stronger with good form, always with good form. But these are examples where the skeleton who needs to carry the muscle adapts. And that's why you get better bones. So, all benefits.
Well, thank you, because this leads to the idea that, you know, remember, one of the problems as we age is fall and you break bones, and it's very difficult. But if you have good enough muscle, you probably can prevent that. I mean, you have enough cushion, you have enough protection, you know, for those bones. And you said the bones will also be stronger, not frail, you know, because you've already given them, you know, the strength that they need. So thank you for that. And I love the concept of the warm-ups because, you know, I see people coming right into the machines. Boom, let's go. You know, and there's no zero time for anything else. And or they overdo it and their body is not there yet. Like, you know, yeah, sure. People, especially I see it in the younger crowd where, you know, it's all about impressing others, like, hey, I can push more than you. And then they're competing for no reason and they just hurting themselves, you know. Right. And I love what you said about form, because I've seen that as well. People do all kind of crazy stuff, you know, twisted stuff, bad form, you know, the wrong angles. And, you know, they try to do some aerobic, well, acrobatic, I would say, you know, yeah. Movements with weights. Oh, not
very
good.
Creative. I mean, sometimes at the gym, trust me, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, you're probably like, what the hell? Yeah. Have you ever happened to go to someone, they look at you like, what do you want?
I try to stay back because people don't take it very well.
I figured
and
that.
It's, so. It's really just want to help, but it's funny. Yeah, it's a funny situation. Yeah.
I know, but you're right. Like, because the reason I said it, because it happens. Like, you see something, but if you go to them, like, and they look at you like you have three heads. Like, you know, what do you want? What makes you an expert? All right, do your thing. I mean, it's your body, not mine. But you know, it's at least maybe on the show we can say it, so someone can actually take that information, share it with someone. Hey, it's okay to get, you know, if I see you, I will ask you, like, how do you get to your body? And you're going to tell, I'm a Miss Universe. I'm going to actually listen to you. You know what I mean? You know your stuff, right? It's like that kind of thing. Like, you see someone that is an expert at something, you will take information from him, you know, or her, as opposed to when you just, you know, refuse information because you think you know it all. And we don't know it all. I don't know it all. I've worked out for, you know, 40 years, but I don't know it all. I'm learning from you right now, few things that I didn't know. And I love this stuff because, you know, any little information I can add to my information arsenal or, you know, ammo is good for me and I can share it with other people. So thank you. It is a great thing. Yeah. I mean, I love it. Well, so Angela, here's a question. Now I talked about men versus women in terms of the fitness, but now, you know, let's talk about the feminine, you know, discussion, because a lot of women, they don't want to get bulky. You know, they want to work out, they want to build muscle, and they say, well, I can't do this stuff because I don't want to look like chiseled. I'm not going to Miss Universe, right? I just want to look good and be like a nice, and I don't want to look like a man. And you hear a lot of that one. I mean, you know, I'm sure you heard that story. So what do you say to that? I mean, because I know you've gone through, you know, all that, and you probably heard it, and you can you train people, and you probably got that question asked, you know, before. So what do we tell our audiences that they want to look good, but they don't want to be too extreme, you know, in their sculpture, if you want to call it, or they just, you know, don't do it because they feel they're going to go that way.
Mm-hmm. So, oh my God. Okay. It takes a lot of heavy lifting to build muscle and to get bulky. And to be honest with you, if this ever happens to a woman that she gets too bulky, we can always dial it down. You know, like, this is easy then. If this is too much for you, we can dial it down. No problem. But most of the time, what I say to my clients is, or what happens is, they are at the 5-pound dumbbells. They don't want to do the 10-pound dumbbells because they're scared to get bulky and we are stuck with 5 pounds. And then they have a little child at home and I ask them, how heavy is the child? Well, 35 pounds. I said, do you lift your child up? Of course I do. I said, okay, so you're lifting 35 pounds up all day and you don't want to lift more than 5 pounds at the gym.
I love that. See that I would have thought about that. That was a good one. You can't, I mean, that's simple. I mean, if ladies are listening right now, you know what's up. I mean, if you're a mother, you know your babies are not light. I mean, so it works that way, right? So thank you for sharing that. That's a good one. And I love what you said, that you can always dial it down. So yeah, by mistake, you get a little too much bulkier. You can just loosen up and drop, you know, the weights and do it, right? So the good news is there's always a good, you know, outcome. So you can't lose here. But I think the bad outcome is if you don't do it. And you keep, you know, less muscle mass. And, you know, because again, because I think for women specifically, there's menopause, there's other things that can, there's hormonal, you know, changes that happen. And they happen for men too, but just different styles, right? Different ways. But I think there's also that. Now, what do you say to that? I mean, menopause is real. you know, is there an impact on muscle building, you know, from a structural piece and hormonal change, you know, that can impact the growth or the lack of?
I think, good question. Again, the muscle communicates with everything in the body. We heard already, it communicates with the bones, it communicates with the metabolism, but it also communicates with your endocrine system, the hormonal system. Again, the better the quality is of your muscle, and the more muscle you have, the smoother sailing you're going to have. So this goes hand in hand. And again, resistance training is the key to go through that phase. And it only supports it and helps you. And it does so much. And again, we take it from the wrong side. We try to do it with medication or all kinds of things. And we never look at the other side that you're not having the muscle tissue and you're all out of whack with your hormones because the body doesn't know what to do because the muscle is not there. So that it's, again, opposite way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Angela, I think just listening to you, it seems that to stay healthy, period, you want big muscles. Well, not big, but you want muscles. You want to build enough healthy in your frame, you know, and by default, you will lose the extra fat and you will probably replace mass by, you know, as I love what you said, a basketball versus a fist, but it's just equal in terms of, you know, the size. So you can literally reduce, you know, the frame, the look, but be leaner and meaner, right?
That's right.
So let me ask you, Angela, this is a question that comes out all the time when we talk bodybuilding, right? There's two things. One, you mentioned resistance versus weight, you know, is that the same thing? Or like, cause sometimes when you say resistance, maybe someone wants just resistance bands as opposed to like, you know, putting the weight, you know, like the dumbbells or like more plates. So is that a difference or is that the same? And the other one is, what is your take on supplements, you know, or you know, that are bulky, like to help you bulky in the muscle, like, you know, the powders, and which ones are good and bad? I mean, no brands, but let's talk about just like, you know, which way to really get your real stuff. And then the last one would be about steroids, because that's a common question that comes out when someone wants to build muscle. Is that a real thing? Is it good? Is it bad? You know, let's talk about that quickly.
Okay. Well, if it comes to steroids, to be honest with you, I don't really know a lot about them. I was in natural bodybuilding. I saw like in the IFBB, whatever other associations that they probably use them, but I was never into that. I mean, I don't even like to say I have a cheat meal because I'm not a cheater. So why would I have a cheat meal? So here is your answer about steroids. I really don't have any experience with them. And I don't really have a work with athletes who use them. They're out there and yeah, they grow a lot of muscle. But
Angela,
I don't.
Well, Angela, thank you for that, because you look great and you didn't use them, which means anybody else could do the same. You don't need them, you know, because there is definitely a damage that comes with steroids. And we can have a whole discussion, you know, with different experts about that, folks. But the fact is, you did it, you made it, you're still looking good with it. I mean, and you do it the natural way, which means that's what we want. We want just people to be natural and not, you know, use additional tools that may make them look good for a period, but then they'll destroy their body over time, you know. So
yeah, it's about health, you know, and that's where I'm coming from. So yeah, I really, that's my answer to that. Okay. If it comes to resistance training, to be honest with you, because everybody is so different and everybody comes from a different background, I want you to challenge yourself. If it's with a band, if it's your own body weight doing a pull-up or a push-up, and that's a challenge for you, you have resistance. You're doing strength training. If you can use weights and if you can work your way up, of course, they're the best solution. I love my dumbbell, so to speak. Yes. And I push and pull as hard as I can. But like I said, it depends. Like if you travel and you have only a TRX available and you hook up your TRX and you do a quick workout on that, good. You made your muscle work. So it's fine. You know, like, again, just do something, put it in action. And whatever that is at that point in your life, just challenge yourself and you're good. I like it all. Resistance bands, TRX, dumbbells, machines. I use it all, you know, whatever works for that person. Yes. And we make it always work. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, thank you. And I, that's the best answer we can get. I mean, you said it. I mean, it's, you can start any resistance and then you can build from there to the bigger stuff. And the more, the better, right? So we can build more muscle mass, and we're good. Now, what about that protein business? Because we talked about protein, you know, in terms of nutrition, but a lot of people buy these buckets that are powder, generic, you know, or synthetic stuff rather, you know, that is made. Is that even good? Does it help, or can we just do it, as you said, the natural way without having to do that?
Okay, so, as the name says, it's a supplement. So first, always the food. If your nutrition's down, it's always funny, people want supplements and then your diet is not right yet. Well, what does the supplement do? We can't really, like, we have to have a foundation. Okay, that being said, I do like supplements. And they're always like a backup if it needs to be quick, easy, simple, or if there are some diet restrictions. And then I like to add supplements in just to cover the bases. And for example, if I have somebody who just starts out and the inflammation is maybe a little bit higher, I make sure that they take the omega-3s. So we get the inflammation a little bit down. What I also like for women, and this is going to be a big thing when I'm saying it, is creatine. Men actually get a lot of creatine, or they have naturally a little bit more creatine. Women don't. So they have to eat a lot of steak, because creatine is, for example, in steak, in order to get that creatine. But creatine is such a wonderful supplement to support muscle health and build muscle. And women should not shy back from it, because, again, this has the reputation of bulking up or causing any kidney damage or whatever. And creatine is one of the most researched supplements on the market. And if you have a company which produces a clean product, totally fine, and take you, like, for women, 3 to 5 grams, fine. You don't do a loading phase, nothing. Just keep it on a daily routine, same time, and make sure your muscles are saturated with the creatine to get some good results. So that's one of the basic supplements I like for women to use if it comes to muscle health. And of course, protein shakes. There's so much out there now. So you have to be really careful reading labels. And if you don't understand what the word is saying, I would probably not take it. So there are different forms of protein powders. There are, of course, the whey proteins. Then we have different blends where whey and casein is mixed in. And then we have the plant-based protein powders. What I recommend with plant-based protein powders is that you have, again, a blend, not just pea protein or just rice protein, because the amino acid profile is not complete. And in order to trigger muscle protein synthesis, you need at least 3 grams of leucine in that protein. So protein is 20 amino acids, 9 essential. So they have to be indigested. You can't make them in your body. And one of them is leucine, and leucine is the specific one which triggers muscle protein synthesis. And my plant-based clients who are vegan, they have a hard time triggering that in their food intake because the amino acid profile is not there. And we make it very simple. We use protein shakes with a blend, so we have it all together. We have a complete protein, and we fix that problem, you know.
Well, thank you. What I'm getting from you is that there is more to supplements. I mean, you have to have a full thing. The amino acids have to be there. You have to have the creatine. You have to have the omega-3s, and probably more minerals and other things that, you know, that, I mean, so you have to have a full diet, not just protein on its own. We need to be fully you know, nutrient heavy, healthy, you know, for you to really do this. So it's not an isolated thing. Let's just get some meat in and that's it. You want more of all, a diversified and 360 concept, you know, in all your Absolutely. Intake. All right. Well, so thank you. Now let's talk about your work and your program as a trainer. I love, by the way, I'm assuming that your clients will get all that. They'll get their macros. You'll add them up. You based on stuff you mentioned, someone with inflammation, someone with, you know, maybe a different aspect. You will help them according to them. It's customizable. Now, how does that work? Is it a one-on-one concept, you know, solution, or do you do group trainings with this? How does that work? Is it remote? How do we get people to you?
So I do one-on-one coaching. I do it online or in person. And then I do a group coaching where once a week we check in and basically see what's going on in the workout, in the diet, and we make the adjustments accordingly. And then I have courses where one is overall health, where you get all the pillars. And then I have a fun one for me. And this is actually getting women ready for their dress. So that's a little specialty what I enjoy doing because of my bodybuilding background. I can really dial somebody in for a specific day to look a certain way. And most of the time I have brides, or if you have a birthday coming up or something. And most of the time the women know the dress they want to wear, and I want them to look their best in their dress. So this is a 12-week program where I get them ready for the dress. So I have the overall coaching, and then I have the special programs.
I think people are going to love that one. I mean, you can literally get them ready in a dress. You know, I think that's the majority of people. They want to be fitted correctly in that wedding, or it could be graduation for a younger person. It could be any of those, you know, a birthday maybe. But you're right. I mean, it is a challenge, by the way. I mean, you know, because your wardrobe is not always the same. We all kind of go up and down, and you want to be in a particular shape and form. It's not easy. You need an expert to help you do it. So we have the expert, folks. So you hear it here, right? If you need to really get into that wedding. And here's the thing. It's summertime now, at least in the Northern Hemisphere here. You know, people want to look, you know, much better for those cruise ships and for the beach and whatever. You know, you got to do the right thing and work it out. Now, again, some people are comfortable the way they are, and that's okay. You know, your comfort is yours, folks. Doesn't matter what that looks like. But again, it's not about comfort. It's about health or no health. So we just want you to get that healthy, you know, look and feel that you want. So Angela, any more competition for you, or what's the deal with that?
I'm not competing anymore, but I get athletes ready for their shows. Yeah.
Oh, are you working with anybody that we should look up to, you know, currently, like, you know, someone that's preparing for the big stuff?
Not big stuff right now, but I have some bikini girls who are getting ready, and it's still fun. I love it. I love the sport. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I mean, you've answered quite a bit of stuff. Now, what's a good website? You know, I have information here, info.houseofshape.com. Is that the one?
Houseofshape.com is my website. Yeah. And on Instagram, it's Health Coach Angela.
All right. So we will have those links as well, so people can connect directly with you, follow you, and hopefully connect with you to get better and get a, you know, the right shape, you know, at the right time. And now one question, though. I mean, I think this is very, you know, relevant, is people can get in shape, but, you know, most people give up after they get in shape. Like, they basically get into that dress, the wedding is over, and now they just go back to their stuff. How do you kind of touch on that? I mean, just briefly.
Okay. This is such a good question. I always have, how can I say it? Like a after show program.
I love it. I love it.
a maintenance program. And support is everything. So important. And for me, I always check in with my clients. And most of the time they stay with me, and we do check-ins. Like I said, support, huge. And we all have our moment and our up and downs, and that's where you need support the most. And that's where I'm there.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, now you know, it's not just like, you know, you're going to get your shape. You want to keep the shape. And I think you can make that happen, Angela. Thank you so much for being with us. You know, we've spent a little bit over the hour, but it was worth every second of it. Thank you so much for the time. Any last words of wisdom you want to share with our audiences before we close the show today?
Yeah, put it in action. Start today. Don't hesitate, because it's so important to enjoy food freedom and have a healthy and happy life. It's worth it. And don't wait. Just get going and start now.
All right. Well, with those words of wisdom, Angela, thank you so much for being with us today. Totally appreciate it.
For having me. It was awesome.
My pleasure. And folks, there you have it. I hope you've taken quite a bit from Miss Universe. I mean, that's your title. You earned it. And, you know, it's not every day that you hear Miss Universe telling you what you can do and how you can do it, or even work out and train under her belt. So you can do that now with Angela. So please check out her, connection or her link in the description of the show. And yes, please do reach out and follow her on social media as well. That being said, I'm Hurricane H. Thank you for watching. We'll be talking soon. New day, new show, new topic. Bye for now.